Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Thanks, Evan. Good to be here. Walker, good to see you, too. I said this earlier. Tonight is the Seinfeld episode of Red Blue Hoops. It is going to be the airing of grievances for the Hoosiers and the Wildcats tonight.
That's awesome. We've never had a Seinfeld episode before.
I know.
I assume a large chunk of our listeners are Seinfeld fans.
I'm going to call it and say they are.
I tell you what, let's do that. Our callers tonight, if you have a Seinfeld episode or a Seinfeld line, bring it.
I love it.
And also, I'm going to also call tonight's show hashtag Keep It Real.
Okay.
All right. Hashtag Keep It Real.
Why?
Because, like you said, we're airing grievances.
Let's talk about it, right?
I have some grievances against the Kentucky fan base.
Ooh.
Big
you
time.
You got a soapbox story you're going to go on,
I'll have
right?
to take a soapbox stand in session two. But tell you what, folks, here we are, show three, season four, at Studio 2.
432, baby.
That's right. Again, phone lines, 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
Tell you what, we had a lot of games since last week.
We did.
Have we not? I think IU had three.
We had three games.
You're all's crazy Big Ten schedule.
7 games in 17 days. How about that? That's like the NBA.
That is. That is.
A lot of quick turnarounds there.
Kentucky's had 2 games since last week's show, and okay. I think both of our programs have had some ups and downs.
Roller coaster.
Indiana went 1-2 since last week.
Yep.
And Kentucky split. Tell you what I'll do, we'll shift it up a little bit this week.
Okay.
Since you've got 3 games, I want to go through Kentucky's
absolutely
real quick.
Sounds good.
Last Saturday, we hosted Florida in Rupp Arena. It was ESPN game day, which always brings up the level of excitement. It was a great time. It was my first time to be able to see Kentucky in person this year in Rupp Arena as my family went up there.
That's ominous, by the way.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And, actually, we joined some Florida Gator friends of ours from Columbus, Ohio, and had a great time. Got into the arena early. As soon as the doors opened, I wanted to go down and sit courtside to watch all the pregame drills that the Kentucky Wildcats do as a team. And I will say, after watching all the drills, if you were to not know any of the players' names and leading up to that game, without question, Jared Vanderbilt is the most physically impressive person on the floor. Now again, he's just coming back in to the rotation. That was his second game back, Walker, the Florida game. Is that right?
Yes.
Second game back. But again, watching the warmups, I like doing that, seeing the players up close and personal. Seeing Brad Calipari that close to me kind of made my skin crawl. I'm not a Brad fan, as you know.
Absolutely.
I was watching him shoot threes, and
he's a great shooter. 12% though, right?
12% career. 9% this season. Back to the game. game was very competitive, back and forth. It was a tough, tough game, low-scoring game. Kentucky lost by 2, 64-66. Kentucky had 17 turnovers to Florida's only 7. Check this out, Chad, as a former player. 6 of our 17 turnovers involved a post-entry pass.
Mm.
3 were turned over by the passer,
okay,
the guard.
Okay.
3 were by the post player after receiving the pass, traveling.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. We're still playing some ugly basketball at times. We did out-rebound Florida by 9, but Florida was without two of their big men. Vanderbilt only played, I think, 13 minutes that night. He's a difference maker, but he's not in shape yet, bottom line.
Can't teach that game shape. No. You got to take time.
I think before the show started, I said, you know, I'm so tired. I have referee controversy fatigue. Unfortunately, this game was marred by a call or no call at the end of the game, inbounds pass.
Yeah.
P.J. Washington breaks the basket and got mauled by a Florida player, no call. We still had a chance to tie the game with 2.5 seconds. We turn the ball over and lose at home, which was a bummer. Our defense was better, though, which was good. Florida's an offensive team, and we held them, again, to 66 points. That was a good sign.
Yep.
Salt in the wound that night, Zion Williamson announced his college choice as the tip-off occurred.
All that.
And this is funny because all the national recruiting gurus said Clemson was the favorite, then South Carolina or Kentucky in the second position, and down in the fifth spot was Duke. Well, he picked Duke.
And that was a 4% chance what I saw, right?
So so much for the gurus and what they – I mean, just folks out there, the gurus, I don't really think know what they're doing.
Jerry Palm, you don't know what you're talking about. Just stop.
So that was a bummer to see Zion go to Duke. He's the third. They have the first, second, and third-ranked players in the class all in the same position, all forwards.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so bummer. Real quick, their other game was this past Tuesday night. We hosted Mississippi State, coached by three-time Final Four coach Ben Howland. Ben Howland's style of basketball is very slow, defensive-minded. Kentucky, it was a close game for 30 minutes. They stretched it out to a 13-point win. You'll appreciate this, Chad. This shows the tenor that will lead to my soapbox discussion later. UK fan base is not favoring this team this year. It was the lowest attendance for an SEC home game since February of 2002. We only had 20,600 people in the stands.
And it's 24,000.
24,000 is capacity.
Wow. Interesting. So that's,
yes, sir, Walker.
It was a 9 o'clock tip-off, though, on a weeknight.
Dude, when it's Big Blue Nation, that's never had a factor.
That's still more than Assembly Hall, though.
Here we go. But you notice he raised his hand.
Exactly.
Like
he raised his hand.
High school student.
Talk.
Yeah.
Turnovers kept it close for the first 30 minutes. We still just play sloppy. The one thing that we are doing better, we're defending the three in the SEC play. We're holding SEC teams to 23% 3-point shooting, which is spectacular.
That's good.
A lot of that has to do with their length. But with that being said, we cannot stop penetration.
Yeah.
Mississippi State was getting to the rim with ease. Thankfully, unlike some of our recent losses, in the last 5 minutes of the game, we played very solid, good fundamentals. They played with high level energy. Kevin Knox got his first man-child offensive rebound of the season the other night.
Nice.
So hopefully that'll transition into more consistent play.
Absolutely.
But, poor Jared, Vanderbilt, he played 11 minutes, but he got 7 rebounds. But, man, his shots were – I mean, he's scud missile stuff, dude. His brain's running 100 miles an hour, and his body's running about 80. But tell you what, you want to take a call real quick before we go to the IU game?
Let's do it.
All right.
See
we're going
we
to go to the phone lines here.
Shooter.
We are going to Shooter the Soup Nazi. All right, Shooter.
Seinfeld.
Welcome to Red
All
Blue
right.
Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Evan, Tubby, Gillespie, Walker, and Chad. We're going to the CBI, Peyton.
All right.
CBI.
Hey. We have to pay for that, right?
Yeah, we got to pay for that. I should get a trademark. Real quick, Evan, I wanted to talk to you. What's wrong with Zion Williamson? Because, you know, is he soft? Does he not want to be a part of the family? Does he not want to be a part of the Kentucky recruiting feed? Why did he choose Duke last minute over Kentucky? That seems to be a popular thing that's going on.
Well, that's a great question, Shooter. He's definitely not soft. He is polar opposite of that. He's an absolute beast at attacking the rim. He's a 6'6" chunk. He's a little bit overweight right now, kind of like Charles Barkley back in college, but we would have loved to have had him join our team. What I get after the announcement was made, again, this is going back to the national media, how much you can trust them, but he was really wanting to play with the Barrett kid and the Cam Reddish kid.
Well, that's a perfect storm.
Cal thought he was getting Barrett, too, didn't
he? Cal was after Barrett, the Canadian kid. Cal's done very well in Canada.
Yep.
Jamal Murray and others. So I don't have any excuses. I mean, the national media had Duke as fifth pick, 4% chance, and he picked Duke.
Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know, man.
Krzyzewski comes from the greatest coaching tree in college basketball.
That's true.
Interesting. That's okay.
You know, Kentucky's out of the top 25 for the first time since 2014.
Yes.
And the Kentucky fans are going crazy.
Yes.
And I just wanted to get your take on that, and I'm going to run through some stuff, and I'm going to attack Chad here in a minute.
I would say trade you for,
except for Derrick Rose's test score. We're waiting on that, and Marcus Camby's gold chain.
No, Marcus Camby was not a gold chain. It was more cash and stuff from an agent than gold chains, but whatever.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
And then, Chad, real quick, Rob Johnson and Josh Newkirk remind me a lot of Devin Dumas and Jeremiah Rivers.
Yeah, that's a backcourt from way back.
And I'm thinking about, you know, tweeting some European and professional basketball coaches and telling them if, you know, they're looking for some free guards, they just need to go check the advanced disposal waste landfill after the end of the season.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal.
Hey, Chad, did you see Indiana shoot those free throws last night?
No, I missed it, Tim, our shooter.
That's okay. Oh, they did, damn. Too.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Hey, real quick, Chad, I'm getting a tweet here from our athletic director, Fred Glass.
Okay.
At Shooter from Red Blue Hoops. Shooter, we are changing the name of our men's basketball team to Juwan Morgan and the Boys, and maybe signing Tara Buss for outside shooting.
Oh, my gosh. I like it. Juwan Morgan and the Boys.
Shooter, you always bring it, man. You always bring it.
That's pretty good.
All I have for tonight, I wanted to tell you, we just lost to an 0-8 Big Ten Illinois team in a down year. I have to admit, the SEC is better than the Big Ten.
Thank you.
Purdue's probably the best team in our conference.
Yep.
One of the top teams in the country, and it kills me to say that. I'm glad my entire family's dead and they don't have to see this.
Wow. Okay.
Our lack of outside shooting is just unbelievable, and the fact that we missed 45% of our free throws and we're a Division I college program is driving me crazy.
Hey, Shooter,
real quick question. How does it make you feel that your flagship program this year is Purdue and they lost to Tennessee and Western Kentucky?
Hey, it's college basketball 2018.
That's true.
There's a lot of parity.
Very good answer.
Yep.
Hey, Shooter, we greatly appreciate the call, man. Really do. Thank you for your support.
You guys have a great week and looking forward to next week.
See you, Shooter. Thanks for calling, Soup Nazi.
See you guys.
All right, man.
All right, folks. Phone lines are 812-426-7400. Give intern Walker some action. Tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
All right, Chad. You had three games. What happened?
The roller coaster last week. So last Friday we played at Michigan State, and I'm not really going to summarize this too much outside the fact of it was an 85-57 final. We were out-rebounded. We didn't shoot the ball well. Juwan Morgan got hurt. It was a buzzsaw like I thought it could be. I was hoping it wasn't. Michigan State had a week off and was not happy. They played well. They're a great team. One thing I want the callers and the fans to think about, Tom Izzo had a lot of his starters in late in the game. 3 minutes to go, Miles Bridges was still in the game. And a lot of Twitter action on that. Hey, what's up with that? And my thought was, Crean was Izzo's boy, so he saw an opportunity to take it out on the Hoosiers.
I never thought about that.
So, but duly noted, because we play them next week, and maybe we can repay the favor. So that was Friday. We lost that one 85-57. That brought us to a quick turnaround on Monday against Maryland. Did you see any of that game?
Yes.
You watch some of that?
I watch all the games, man.
I prep your homework for the show. That actually was a pretty well-played game. Two pretty solid teams, or at least Maryland. I think KenPom, they're like 30 or 38. So it was a good top 50 win for us. Close game, 71-68 final. Juwan Morgan, who actually after Friday, I thought he could be out for the year. I just didn't know, and they weren't talking about it. Next thing you know, he's out in warm-ups and just played like a monster.
He did.
25-5 and off an injury. You never know what to expect when a kid gets hurt. They come out there tentative, but he did his thing. So it kind of led me to believe that I think he just got nicked up a little bit at Michigan State, and then Archie told him, hey, no reason to come back. We're getting pounded up there. So, but he looked good. I think I said this last week, he's a great creator too. So when he catches the ball, he can score and he can find the open man. So when he's not in the game, IU looks really bad. And Shooter, the analogy, he said Juwan Morgan and the Boys, that is what it kind of looks like sometimes.
Yeah.
That was a good analogy on his part. Robert Johnson continued his strong play. He had 12 points and 8 rebounds. I thought it was pretty neat. Johnson talked about in the presser that Archie's really challenged the guards to get rebounds. With Deron Davis out, he wants the guards to get minimum 12 boards total. And Johnson's been averaging 8 himself the past 5 games. So he's doing a great job on that. Back and forth game, we made the plays to pull it out at the end, 71-68 final. So I thought we had some nice momentum coming into at Illinois last night. Played them, the Orange Crush, and I can't stand Illinois. I never have liked them. I knew it was going to be a tough game. It seems like it always is, regardless of the records. Illinois, like Walker was saying earlier, they were 0-8, and I think you said this too, Evan, but they're 0-8 in the conference, but solid. They're getting beat by 5, 10 points. I mean, they're in all these games.
All close games.
All close games. So Underwood was just dying for a victory. So he actually wore his orange blazer last night,
that.
The old Lou Henson Indiana days. So that was some good rivalries back then. Some highlights of the game, Juwan Morgan had 28-9, played like an all-Big Ten guy. I mean, he is.
Without question.
Yeah, he's playing really well. Johnson, Newkirk, Green, Durham, they laid an egg last night. Mm-hmm. Guard play was just horrible. And Newkirk, he reminds me off of Tony on Blue Chips. You remember that movie, Blue Chips?
Remember
they
went
back to the tape and Tony ended up like he was point shaving, threw some turnovers away?
Yeah.
Watch some of those turnovers. They just kind of go out of bounds to nobody, and they're late in the game when the spread can be moved.
You guys lead the nation in guard passes to no one.
I would agree with that.
I mean, it's unreal.
No question.
You had another one last night. Newkirk threw it to the crowd.
Absolutely. I think he did it twice.
Wow. It's frustrating for you guys.
UK had one the other night, though, too.
Who was it?
Sasha.
Oh, that's right, against Mississippi State. He threw it to their guard going the other direction for a breakaway.
No kidding.
Forgot about
that. I guess
that.
He was open.
Good call, Walker.
But he was open, right?
Yeah.
Walker's on it.
He had that younger memory.
No kidding. So
it's pure.
Two other things. Guess what Evan, we shot 29 free throws. That's a pretty good amount on the road.
Yep. You're aggressive.
Aggressive, getting fouled. That's great. How many do you think we hit?
I bet you didn't hit as many as you needed to.
We did not. That's a good answer.
Just like us at South Carolina last week.
We hit 16 free throws out of 29.
Yep.
I never seen something that was so free become so costly.
Yeah.
You know?
That's tough.
Cost us a win. And then lastly, we're going to go to the airing of grievances segment of this. And if you follow me on Twitter, I was very outspoken about Freddie McSwain last night.
Yes.
And I think there was like 4 tweets in a row when I said, please take Freddie out. And I'm hoping Archie reads that, but I don't understand why he – I hate to pick on a guy. He's a good kid, but his plus or minus – I think we lost by 2. Is it possible that his plus or minus could be negative like 68? Is that possible when you lose by 2?
Tough.
And you only play 14 minutes?
He did hit free throws late, though.
He did hit free throws. So if who's your fans? If you can call in and talk about – or try to tell me why McSwain plays, I'd like to know that. Should we go to a call, or are we good?
Tell you what, folks, first segment's flown by. We do have a caller on the line, but we're going to go ahead and go to our first break. This is Red Blue Hoops. Phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Music provided by Chad and the Archie Pickers.
It's better than Chad and the Spring Cleaners last year.
Man.
That was pretty good name.
Spring Cleaners. Oh, by the way, don't forget, Archie continued the tradition. He did some cleaning, remember? He got rid of some kids.
He did. I think it's not done yet either. I think there could be some things that happen after this year.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to segment two, going to the phone lines. Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Have you ever wondered why any of these games aren't sponsored by Eyeglass World?
Why is that?
No, it's a joke. Eyeglass World. Because they can't see, these referees can't see what they're doing.
I know. That's, yeah.
All righty.
I like it. We were talking about that earlier.
Okay. Well, the other guy took my call about the free throws. Because when you were in grade school, Chad, you were in a free throw contest, and you made about 23 out of 25.
I did. Good memory. I sure did.
And, I mean, why can't these college guys make these free throws?
I don't know. They have to practice. They have to. I think last night with Indiana, it was absolutely contagious. Once Morgan missed his, Colin Hartman, a senior, Zach McRoberts, guys that typically hit shots, just they missed them, and it got contagious. Walker, what do you think? You don't have to raise your hand either. You can
I
just
think
start.
Outside of North Carolina, there's academics that come into it as well.
Oh, really? That's part of the deal? That's good. I like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll throw a counterpoint at this, though. Did you know historically, though, that free throw shooting has not gotten worse? It's a complete – like everyone says it's gotten worse, and it hasn't. They've gone back historically. It's almost exactly the same.
Right.
It's a complete miss. It's just a wives tale that free throw shooting's gotten worse.
Right.
It's almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay, who are you guys picking in the Super Bowl?
Ooh, good question.
Who am I picking or who am I cheering for?
Well, who are you cheering for?
Eagles.
Oh, yes, okay.
Absolutely.
Although I'm not...
You and 350 million other people.
That's right.
I know who my wife's cheering for. She's cheering for the Eagles. She's not a Tom Brady fan at all. And we're Steelers fans at our home.
That's right.
Yeah. Who are you cheering for, Kim?
Eagles.
All right. Yeah, all right. Heck yeah. We got a lot of fans on that.
Awesome. Hey, Kim, let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you
one more question before you go. Do you ever watch Kentucky basketball games?
Not unless I'm forced to.
Oh, really? Well, why don't you start watching, do some show prep, and you call and ask a Kentucky question next week?
I will.
She did have an aunt that was a big-time Kentucky
fan. Remember last year, though, she was kind of favoring Kentucky. It was kind of tearing you up during the show.
I don't remember
that. I do. I can go back.
She just said I look good in blue, which I do.
Oh, yes, it's true.
I do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kim, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
See you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
See you, bye.
We're going to our Twitter line. Intern Walker just passed over a question from longtime listener and part-time intern, Jim Gotze.
Jimmy.
From German American Bank. Thank you as our show sponsor.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Here we go. It says, great thing about this UK team is that it appears most will all be back next year. No first-rounders in this bunch. Well, that's a dream.
I think so, too.
Kevin Knox is going to be a first-round draft pick for sure. Diallo still has a chance to be a late first-rounder strictly based on athletic ability alone.
And he's at Kentucky.
I know.
I mean, Calipari, it's just the
Calipari
brand.
Effect.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he's playing his way. He's starting to get, the scouts from the NBA starting to pay attention to him. And still, I know this sounds crazy because he hasn't played all year, but Jared Vanderbilt still could be drafted.
Absolutely.
So it's a wait and see as usual. Have to wait until, you know, April or when did that declare now?
I think it's April.
But they can
April.
Go through the whole process now. Remember,
oh, that's right. It's May 15th or something.
Yeah, they go through the combine, come back. Yeah, so like it's a little bit different this year. But, Jim, thanks for the tweet.
So, hey, question for you.
Yes, sir.
So people go, people stay. Could Brad Calipari be the two guard next year?
Absolutely not.
You sure about that?
100%.
We have three guards coming in.
We have three five-star guards.
Could he be
guards.
The point guard then?
No.
The three.
No.
Could he be the three?
It is not an option. In fact, I'm politicking to pull a scholarship.
I hear you.
I think he actually is on scholarship this year. He was a walk-on last year, but then they had an opening. I think he got it. It just drives me crazy.
They need money. I can't afford it.
That's probably, true. He's only making $7 million. Can't pay tuition.
Mm-mm.
But, again, this is, what's it called, airing our grievances?
The airing of grievances.
And hashtag keep it real.
Keep it real. That's right.
So I was going to jump in my soapbox. Again, mentioned I was in Lexington this past weekend. We got into town early. It was a late game because of ESPN game day. So it was an 8:15 Eastern tip. It gave me a lot of time to talk to a lot of Kentucky fans in and around Rip Arena, you know, the Hyatt Lobby Bar scene, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Ran into several people that I know, some great friends, some just acquaintances. And I was just asking some general questions about their feeling about this year's team and then Calipari overall. And I will say that the tenor is there is definite a swell of fatigue of one and done.
Yeah.
Within the UK fan base. I mean, some people say, oh, no, it's just a small segment. I can just tell you that based on my research, that there's definitely fatigue in that. And I had one guy say that he would give up all the Final Fours except for the championship year and then have all the rest of the years of just regular basketball teams.
There is no way.
It's impossible.
No way.
And so off the air, I was talking to you. So what that guy was saying is, going back to, let's say, like Tubby Smith ball. So then he said, yeah, we'll have building years, which are called bridge years for great programs. Great programs have bridge years.
Sure.
Not rebuilding segments.
Sure. Bridge.
So are you not allowed to have any sort of bridge segment or year as a Calipari, as a coach? I mean, it just does not make sense to me. So let's check this out. Duke, obviously the greatest program in the last, 30 years?
The benchmark, yeah.
Right?
I would say
supposedly.
So. Supposedly. Yeah, exactly.
So if you start digging into this, the last 16 years, Duke has achieved either a 1 or 2 seed in the tournament. All right? So
every year? Is that right?
At 16 years, they've had 12 1 or 2 seeds out of 16 years.
Okay.
Out of those 12 1 or 2 seeds, they've only made the Elite Eight 4 times. So a 33% clip. All right? Calipari in 8 years has been to the Elite Eight 6 times. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. You know?
Duke gets protected.
Oh, there's
things.
No question.
Yeah.
But I just for me, I'm frustrated a lot less than when this team. I'm a lot more frustrated with their fan base. The lowest attendance for an SEC home game this past Tuesday night, to me, is unacceptable. It's the youngest team in history playing the 19th hardest schedule with 25% of our roster hurt at one point in time this season. And we have not been blown out yet. Now, we may be blown out this Saturday at West Virginia.
Tough matchup.
But this team has been in every single game it's lost. They've had a chance to win it in the last 5 minutes with the youngest team in history. My goodness, what else can you expect? Well, he needs to change his recruiting. When he came here in his press conference, he said, he looked at everyone in the eye and said, I want to recruit the best of the best. Well, guess what happens when you do that? They go to the NBA.
Absolutely.
And I don't want Tubby's recruiting. I don't want Billy Gillespie's recruiting. Keep that. You guys, tell you what, if you don't like it, go cheer for a Missouri Valley team. Go cheer for an American conference.
No,
I wasn't going to say Big Ten, but go cheer for a mid-major if you don't want to watch the best player. I actually prefer watching John Wall play versus a Michael Porter that played for Tubby.
Absolutely. That's one I don't understand.
I'm on a rant. I told you I'm going to have a soapbox tonight.
I don't blame you.
It's just driving me crazy. Crazy.
Here's the thing that I'm done. You hear the saying, I'm done with the one and dones or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they're 18-2 right now, nobody's saying a word
about
that.
Not one word.
It's just the team is not as good.
They're not.
The class is not as – I mean, they're good, but they're not great of what you guys are used to.
That's right.
But if these guys stay, you know, what's it going to look like next year?
As an example, I work out every week at the YMCA at 5 o'clock in the morning with my buddy Jim Godsey, and Larry Ulrich works for the Y. He runs the wellness center there.
Yeah.
He's a big IU fan.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's listening tonight. If you are, Larry.
I think he's a referee too, isn't he?
He's a longtime referee.
I thought so.
Professionally trained ref. I tell you what, don't bring up bad refereeing. Larry gets very defensive when you bring up a bad call about a college ref. But anyway, he said that he was talking to some friends of his that were UK fans that told him after the Florida loss, we're done with this team. We're just done. We're done. What do you mean you're done?
I have a buddy that does that with Indiana, too. It kind of drives me crazy.
I just can't wrap my head around it. You're either a fan or you're not,
right?
Even during the Gillespie years, I never missed a game. I guess they call me obsessive on the intro, I guess.
I guess
I am obsessive. I'm a fanatic. I'm a fan. That's what fan stands for, fanatic. Are you a fanatic for Indiana?
Absolutely.
You are.
Here's the thing. If you can deal with the good, you have to deal with the bad, right? That's just the way it is.
Tell you what, I'm taking a dice roll. I'll take Cal. All you other Kentucky fans, you take Tubby, and you take Billy G, and we'll see who's standing at the end every March, all right? If you have any comments or disagreements, call me anytime.
You can take Eddie Sutton, too, if you want.
Oh, yeah. That's right. What we got?
Well, I think also maybe the older fans, you know. The 2011, 2012.
Yes.
Darius Miller, Kentucky boy.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, we had Dominique and Derek, you know.
Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, mm-hmm. Kentucky boys.
Okay.
This year, No Kentucky boys.
We have no seniors, no juniors.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
no Kentucky bred players. I mean,
that could be another.
And you hear a lot of fans say, "Well, he's not recruiting Kentucky players." Well, he has in the past. He obviously has not elected here recently to extend an offer to Kentucky.
I don't think there's anybody any good in Kentucky. All right.
Well, you have all these people.
I'm sorry.
You have the kid
there.
You know, you have the Braxton Beverly kid lighting up for North Carolina State. That was going to be. He was going to go to Ohio State.
Okay.
He's doing well. Beetle Bolden, West Virginia. You got the two kids at Western Kentucky. You got the two kids at Mississippi State that one starts that dunked on us our night twice. But, hey, again, I'm taking the six Elite Eights in the last 8 years, four Final Fours in 8 years, and a national title.
Air those grievances, Evan.
If Calipari had not choked, again, I said Calipari choked in the Wisconsin game. If he had not done that, it's all a moot point at this time.
Well, they would have been 40-0 potentially that year, right?
Absolutely. It would have been 40-0, national title game, you know, so – anyway, whew, airing of grievances, hashtag keep it real.
I like it.
So, Chad, you have anything else about IU right now going on? Any positive outlooks, upcoming games?
Well, you know, I'm just going to just give a real quick tourney profile. People are asking me, hey, can Indiana make the tournament? And here's my thought. I thought we had to get that game last night. I think
definitely.
I was telling you off the air. You and Walker both, that Indiana plays Purdue on Sunday. They come back and play at Ohio State Tuesday and then Michigan State at home Sunday. That's basically they're a third-ranked team, the 13th-ranked team, and the 6th-ranked team or 5th, I think.
Wow.
That's, kind of walking the plank there. So losing last night, the ability, we could lose 4 in a row. So. And I think I said earlier, those bad losses, we had Illinois is a bad loss, Indiana State, Fort Wayne. The only way to recover from those is if we can beat Purdue or beat 2 of those 3, whatever combination, and that's asking an awful lot.
Well, that is.
I think either win 2 of those 3.
Yep.
Or make it to Saturday of the Big Ten tournament.
So you're saying Walker said either win 2 of those 3 or make it to Saturday of the Big Ten tournament.
Well – correct. I will agree with that. Caveat being total wins, too. Mm-hmm. So, because I could see Indiana winning 2 of those 3 and then going to at Rutgers. Life on the road for the Hoosiers, and you guys kind of see this, too, being a young team. I gave you grief after you guys beat Vandy on the road. We kind of laughed about that. But any road win in conference.
Well, did you see what Vandy did the other day?
They beat somebody, didn't they?
What did Vandy do the other day? We were talking about it. I can't remember what it was, but. Well, last night, I think what happened, your buddy Wayne was making fun of us losing that South Carolina. Well, South Carolina went to Florida last night and
beat
won by
them.
5.
I saw that.
I mean, SEC is a slaughterhouse this year.
It is. It is.
Vanderbilt, they beat LSU, LSU beat A&M
mm-hmm.
and Alabama, I think. And then they came back on Tennessee the other night.
That's right. They almost came back after a big deficit at Tennessee the other night. So it is what it is. I'll tell you what, folks. Wow. Segment 2 has evaporated. Maria, we're going to our last break, folks. Red Blue Hoops, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
Folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops for our final segment here, Show 3, Season 4 at Studio 2, WNIN 88.3. Spread the word. You can live stream us, folks, WNIN.org. It's a great way you can listen to us anywhere around the world.
Global.
Global. Award-winning Red Blue Hoops.
Again, somebody asked me the other day.
Yes, sir.
He said, hey, tell me about that award. Did you guys really win an award? And I said,
yes,
heck yeah, we did.
Yes, we did. I think we've been submitted again, right? Are we submitting again, Berg?
Different contest.
Okay, a different one. Nice. Okay, cool. Fantastic.
All right, folks. Sweep all the awards.
We're still having some technical difficulties with our phone line. If you do feel like you have a big need to call, go ahead and do it. We can get through it, 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Walker's waiting for some tweets. We got anything or no?
We just had that one from Gotze. That's it.
Okay.
It's kind of a light night on Twitterverse for Red Blue Hoops. Let's talk about looking forward. We've had a soapbox night tonight.
Yeah.
We've had an up and down week for both programs.
Yep.
Now Kentucky is heading to West Virginia this Saturday.
Man, that
part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. As they call them, Press Virginia.
Yeah.
Extremely physical team. Bob Huggins and Cal Perry are very close friends. In fact, Cal Perry signed, I think, 200 items. And send them over to Huggins for some sort of cancer fundraiser.
Nice.
Yeah, Hugs doing. But everyone said when the schedule came out with this young squad, the Kentucky Kittens, that this is an automatic L for UK. I would tend to agree with that. Although, here recently, West Virginia struggled just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling scoring the ball consistently. They're still playing very physical. They'll turn us over. I think the atmosphere is going to be extremely intense for our young team.
With the intense crowd, they're having the theme is a blue out with a fish fry.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I saw
it. Oh, calamari, maybe.
Oh.
I don't know.
Cool.
A blue out?
What time's that game start?
It's the six or seven game.
It's a night game then? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's game day again.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Now, I tell you what, if you're a betting person, I think Kentucky's 5-10 of the last 15 game days, or they're 5 out of 10, something like that. They haven't done well on game days lately.
If you had to handicap that spread, what do you think it would be? Have you seen anything like that?
I have not, but I bet 4, Virginia.
I was thinking like 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7 is what they're calling right now.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Vegas knows.
They do. Vegas does know. That's a good point.
So that's this coming Saturday for UK. Again, it's going to be on ESPN. And then we come back home next Tuesday and host Vanderbilt. And I'm just going to take it one game at a time. So
what that's what I need to do.
What I want to see for the West Virginia game, if we lose but compete and don't just completely fold the tent.
That's right.
I'll be happy. You know, we've only actually folded the tent at one segment. We were very competitive at Tennessee, but when P.J. Washington got hurt, went out of the game, and then Winion fouled out, at that time, the other young guys kind of went, oh, we're doomed. And that's the only time I've seen us really fold the tent this year.
So yeah.
Who do you have coming up?
So you guys play West Virginia on Saturday, and we play Purdue on Sunday.
What time Sunday? Do you know?
2:30.
Is it a CBS game?
It is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
so
your arch rival. Yeah,
and you only play them once this year.
We do.
You're lucky.
That's pretty sad. Home.
See, the SEC has their deal. They restructured it, and they picked your team has three rivals that you play twice a year, regardless.
See, the Big Ten should do that.
Yeah,
too. Purdue should be.
You
should
guys
twice
home and home,
no question.
Just like we do, Tennessee, Florida, Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
which is good for us.
I don't like to talk positive about Purdue, but they are a really good team. The game concerns me. I watched them play Iowa last week. They hit 23 pointers, 20 of 33 for the game, but at
good
one
gracious.
Point, they were 10 for 11. They hit 10 of 11. That was on like 13 possessions. So think about that. And of course, they blew Iowa out.
Gosh. Yeah.
With that being said, it's happened to everybody. You run into a situation where you just lay an egg. They call it the dog days of late January, early February.
Yes.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm actually hoping Purdue wins tonight. You got a score on that by chance?
Yes, sir.
They're playing at home against Michigan. So
that could be good.
It's a competitive game.
Score is 36-29 with 2 minutes left in the first half.
Who's up?
Purdue.
Okay.
Purdue's up.
Go Boilers. You'll never hear me say that again. But
we got it on tape, though. See, we can actually use that in a commercial cut in the future. He just said, "Go Boilers."
Burger, don't do that.
Yeah.
No,
that,
don't do Maria, that. Get me in trouble.
Hey, tag that. It's at 6:45:27.
We have a 4-1 vote on this.
Yeah, 4-1 vote.
Oh,
that's
my
right.
Gosh.
Burger, Maria, Walker, and Evan, 4-1. That's gonna be great.
That would be pretty funny, actually.
So who do you have after Purdue?
So then we play Ohio State, and I assume.
Where?
There, at Ohio
State.
At Ohio State. That's the 6 o'clock game. Do you guys play on ESPN Tuesday then?
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys play after us.
Don't go to overtime. Just do not do that to us. Yeah, we play Tuesday night on ESPN.
Yeah, so we do as well. We have the 6 o'clock game. Huh. So we'll be able to do some homework for each team.
That's right,
there.
Prep.
Yeah.
Interesting. How many UK games did you watch this year, Chad?
I watched some of that game last week. Actually, the last couple games. The Florida game and Mississippi State.
Yep.
And I've caught a few other ones, too. I try to catch the games where I feel like they're going to lose.
Wonder why that is. Yeah, that's right. I love that. The ones that are going to maybe lose.
That's right.
I don't know. Kentucky has a tremendously tough road schedule remaining.
They do.
Again, we're sitting here at 5 losses toward the end of January. Again, at West Virginia, at Missouri, at Texas A&M, at Auburn, at Arkansas, at Florida.
That's 6 remaining road games.
We could actually lose all 6 of those games.
Absolutely.
I mean, without a doubt, we could lose all 6 of those games. We are going back to the Red Blue Hoops hotline.
All right.
Wayne, welcome back. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing awesome.
Mr. Wayne, what's up,
buddy? Airing grievances, hashtag keeping it real.
That's exactly right. Hey, I just want to say a couple things here. Just thoughts. Statements more than anything. IU is obviously really, really bad, and we just have a very low level of talent.
But
Kentucky's got talent, and I don't think they're just not playing well as a team together. What's your thoughts on that, Evan?
Well, again, it goes back to the youngest team in history and the youngest team under Cal Perry that's had 25% of its scholarship roster hurt at one point in time. There's definitely moments of lack of synergy on that team. I agree 100%. But, I mean, I think they're showing areas of improvement as the season goes along. They're not tough. You know, Cal Perry's bell cow is tough defense. They're not doing that consistently. And they're turning the ball over. I mean, very simple turnovers, and that's really hurting them. So as we go into February, literally just cut down 2 to 3 turnovers a game.
Yep.
And a hair better defense, I think they could be a decent maybe 6 or 5 seed in the tournament. And I don't think you want to face them in the tournament based on Cal Perry's March record.
Well, you know, we could give you Josh Newkirk. He just throws the ball to the other guy.
That's what I said earlier in segment 2. Indiana leads the nation and passes to no one this year.
I think he's point-shaving, Wayne. I don't know. I have to dig into that.
That's exactly right. I mean, I've never seen a player in 2 games. I was at the Maryland game and just watched him pass the ball to the other player, and he did it again last night.
He did. He sure did. I don't understand.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, but we can give Kentucky, you know, him for the rest of the season. I mean, he's a senior. I mean, that's
it. Could at least make your age discrepancy. You could have a senior on the team. Please take him.
This will be our first time in history, Wayne, to not have a senior day ceremony at UK. It's really weird.
Well, that's, you may have seniors, but they're seniors that's really not playing a lot.
No. You're not hearing me. We do not have a senior
on the
roster.
There's not one guy on there.
There's not one senior on the roster.
Even your walk-ons, huh?
There's not a senior player on Kentucky's roster. How much more plain can I say it?
Oh, my gosh.
I just wanted to make sure I got that right.
I know. So. It's insane.
It is.
You know, the senior day at UK, like, it's a historical.
It's a big event.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
They sing My Old Kentucky Home, yada, yada. But not going to happen this year. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to pass out T-shirts or something or ice cream cones.
Yeah. Let me clear up one more thing here before I go here. So – I mean, what's your take on the situation? I know you guys lost the big recruit last week or this week. I mean, is Calipari really upset? Is he really upset with Coach K? I mean, is there some kind of rift there?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about – I know they're very competitive, and Coach K has obviously adapted the Calipari method of recruiting. He's totally embraced the one and done, and it's interesting how the national media is not attacking Coach K like they do Cal Perry.
I agree with you on that.
Which is incredible.
Yep.
But
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's interesting, Wayne. We do have 3 5-star point guards coming next year, one of which is in the top 10, Keldon Johnson. So losing the big star, Zion Williamson, I don't think it was a shock because going into the last 2 months of his recruitment, Everyone said he's going to Clemson.
I think the shock was just where he went than anything.
That was, I agree, Kentucky.
Yeah.
But then, I think Cal took a shot at Coach K in the press this week. You know, when Cal got to Kentucky, he started that La Familia stuff, that family, the whole family hashtag,
brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, no, now Duke has started the brotherhood.
I saw that.
And then Coach K says, if you come here, the other alumni of the basketball program will take care of you forever, which is a complete lie. That does not occur. And Cal was talking about that. He goes, you can't tell a kid that. You cannot guarantee that Christian Laettner, who's been broke, by the way, is going to take care of you 10 years from now.
Right.
And Cal Perry says, and by the way, all of my recruits from Kentucky are earning $1 billion in the NBA.
I saw him say that.
Yeah. And he emphasized billion.
Yeah.
So he has a little shot across the bow there. I don't think Cal's going to lay down.
No, I can't. No, I don't think he's not going to do that.
And I don't really blame him. I kind of feel like, you know, Coach K, you know, as much as he bashed Calipari for a while, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, was about the one and done. It seems like all of a sudden he's right on top of it.
No kidding. That's a great point.
And last year, Coach K had a super team. All right. They had Grayson Allen, Luke Kennard,
Jason Tatum,
Harry Giles. They got beat in the second round of the tournament, but he's still considered the greatest coach of modern basketball. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he is a great coach.
I think that just proves how hard it is to win a national championship.
And don't forget, here in the past 8 years, he's lost in the tournament to Mercer and Lehigh.
And that was that Roy D. Mercer? Or was that...
Yeah, I just say Roy D., baby. Yeah.
And the worst considered seven seed in history.
That's right. That's true. Last year, their second round loss was they were lost to what they said was the worst seven seed in history, South Carolina, that rolled to the Final Four. So, anything else, Wayne?
Well, hey, great guys. Hey, appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for calling, Wayne.
Yeah, greatly appreciate the call. Here at Red Blue Hoops, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
Folks, give us a tweet. Walker's not earning his pay.
I'm going to comment on something real quick that Wayne alluded to, the talent that Indiana has. So before the season, and I was naive to this, everyone knows I'm always Mr. Optimistic, and I see these guys, and I'm like, they're seniors, they should win. There was an article that Greg Doyle, and he's a pretty good writer for the Indianapolis Star. He wrote like an article, or he tweeted that it's pretty much known to most college basketball coaching staffs that the Archie's Indiana team is the least talented team that he's ever coached. So, talking about his 6 or 7 years at Dayton.
Sure.
So, I kind of ignored that and thought that wasn't true. But basically, you take Morgan off this team, they're not very good.
Oh, if you take Morgan off this team.
Yeah,
oh
you're looking,
gosh.
You're going back to the Crean early years.
Yeah, like the 9-23 team or whatever it was. Whatever.
6-25.
6-25.
At least those guys play hard, I guess, most of the time. But
let me give you, I love this opportunity to throw a counterpoint. You know, I joke around, call Indiana mid-major, you know, a couple of times this season. But since Bob Knight left, Indiana's winning percentage is 58%.
You know, I hadn't looked at that.
And I don't have my notes, but they've only been past the Sweet 16 one time since Bob Knight left.
Final Four.
Yeah, that would have been Mike Davis.
The 02 season, right?
Right.
So this is going to be a deep rebuild. I mean, Crean didn't they got him back for a moment, right? With Cody and Victor and
Yogi.
That was a squad.
That was a good team.
But he didn't get it back, because getting it back means you're consistent. Because the year after that, they were terrible again.
Well, I think that was a fallacy with Crean, to get on my soapbox real quick about Crean. Everyone always said that he was a great recruiter. And did he get some pretty good players? Yes, but did he recruit a great balance of lineup of players? Centers, forwards.
Right.
You look on the team, and we have a bunch of threes. No point guard. He wasn't, you know, a good boss or a good manager has good balance across his squad, and he was not that.
The one thing he did, he could teach shooting. Or someone did on his staff.
They did shoot the ball fairly well.
They cannot do it this year.
They're like
they're 300 and something in both three-point and free throw percentage.
So both schools are 300s and
three. Kentucky
there'd be a lot of bricks.
Kentucky being can't
built.
Shoot ever. I mean, you put Indiana and Kentucky together, they can build a multi-housing development.
There'd be a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that last night, they had that 7-minute span of no field goals.
Between both teams.
But they probably shot like 20 free throws. It was ridiculous.
Every possession, there was a whistle.
Yeah, everyone.
Up and down the court. Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, totally crazy. Talking about some data, just to give you a little flavor, I saw in the news the other night, you know, Victor made the All-Star team.
I saw that. It's
pretty
awesome.
Kentucky has four All-Star people this year, Davis, Cousins, Wall, and Towns. That's the first time a program has had four All-Stars since 1983, UCLA. Oladipo's the first All-Star from Indiana since Isaiah. I mean, that's another telling sign about there's been a significant gap here, folks, of a couple of decades of less than Indiana standard basketball.
So to that point, Archie's recruiting class right now is ranked 20th with what he has. Now, you get a Romeo Langford, you're probably going to the top 10.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I think help is on the way.
Romeo, we're out there, Romeo.
Yeah, where the hell? No kidding. That's what needs to happen.
Our current RBH index, folks, that's something that we invented on the show. Indiana's currently ranked 91.5. That's not good. Kentucky is ranked 24.75, which is not good either.
You guys seem to be maintaining that.
Yeah, we are. We've been pretty close. Our current strength of schedules, Indiana's 53, Kentucky's 19th, just to give you a little flavor before we stand at this point in time. Real quick, we've got less than 2 minutes, Chad. Real quick, U of E update.
Yes, sir.
The Aces.
The Aces got off the schneid last night, picked
up
a road win at Valpo. Great job, Marty. Good
there
game.
You go. Yeah, I watched that second half. It was good.
I'll tell you what, 13-9, 3-6 in the conference. They have a home game at the Ford Center. They have two in a row, actually, but Drake on Saturday. There's a lot of jersey retirements on Saturday, so if you can get out there, it's going to be a pretty good event. And I'm going to shout out to Drew Smith. Mm-hmm. He is a great player for UE. He's a guy that – I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. But with that transfer rule, you know, he's a guy that somebody like IU would be like, hey, come on up here.
That transfer rule got tabled for a year, but it is going to happen, they're saying.
Is that right?
2 years from now, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
But, no, he's having a great season. That Wrights team that went to the state finals, man, every one of those players that played on
that team
are playing.
They
are. They're putting it down.
Well, good
down,
for the Aces last night.
Yes,
going into USI, Screaming Eagles, they're 15-5. Last week, since last week's show, they went 2-0. They have a game at home tonight, Wisconsin Parkside, 7:30 at the Pack. And then they travel at McKendree University, Levin, Illinois, on Saturday, 3 o'clock. So shout out to the Aces and the Eagles.
Let's get it done.
And, folks, we're going to wrap up show 3 here. It's flown by. We appreciate all the support from the callers and tweetverse out there.
I had a couple more
live
tweets.
Remote. Remind them of the live remote again. Let's
live remote, folks. Put on your calendars February the 22nd at Bar Louie on Evansville's East Side. Indiana and Kentucky fans can come out and participate with the show. We want to thank our main sponsor, German American Bank. Appreciate you stepping up. We'll see you guys back here next Thursday. Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.